nilqakom għal programmi ħor storja dejja mija Jendru Azzopardi jina minn ġimgħa l-oħra qed nitratta l-medja minn perspettivi differenti naturalment. Kif tafu kif qed tgħidu li anke intkom ripetutament din huwa programm li qed jintlaqa tajjeb ħafna, qed tieħdu gost bih l-oħra ħaġa qed tkollkom l-opportunità wkoll li tisimgħu diversi nies involuti fil-medja mod speċjali. Nis ġurnalisti, opinjonisti, nis b'xi mod jew ieħor direttament jew indirettament involuti fil-medja. Jiena llum mhux se tkun eċċezzjoni, se nibqa' inlaqgħakom aktar nies interessanti. Miegħi għandi żewġ mistennin, Andrew Gallia li huwa fil-preżent huwa student tal-Ingliż, qed jagħmel l-honors fl-Ingliż, huwa wkoll kien għal żmien contract worker ma' dive.com. U xi ftit sinilu kien ukoll summer worker fil-newsroom ta' Times of Malta u allura għalkemm għadu żagħżugħ għandu diversi esperjenzi f'dan is-settur. Apparti jekk għandi wkoll l-Alex Grech miegħi li huwa il-persuna li tmexxi l-Malta InsideOut.com hija website ġdida interessanti ħafna fil-ġurnata li llum propju qed nirrekordjaw, jiena dħalt arġej dħalt fil-multainsideout.com u kien hemm lista tal-Wi-Fi hotspots. Li kienet interessanti ħafna għaliex kultant dawn huma servizzi importanti ħafna illi in-nies għandhom bżonnhom. Fil-fatt ċifti ġranet oħra se jiġi professur minn barra u qed jgħid li l-ewwel qalli mhux fejn se noqgħod, qalli hotel, qalli sibli fejn trid, qalli nifqaqniex ħafna għalli ma sibni fejn trid. Qalli imma l-importanti li jkolli post fejn ikun hemm Wi-Fi hotspot. Ġifieri di taqgħod żewġ affarijiet l-oħra ħaġa l-attwalità tal-Malta InsideOut.com imma parti jekk kemm it-teknoloġija saret importanti għalina. Parti jekk Alex qed jagħmel ukoll PhD ġewwa Scarborough li hija parti huwa l-post il-lokalità fejn qed jistudju li hija parti mill-Università tagħhom, huwa wkoll persuna li involut ukoll u se jkellimna ftit ukoll se niddiskutu miegħu fuq social media strategy. Ibqgħu magħna. Illum kif għadilkom, Alex u Andrew, rrid ngħid li llum se nkunu qegħdin niflippjaw mill-Ingliż għal Malti. Andrew naħseb jiena. You're English, Andrew.
Half Scottish.
Half Scottish, that's right. Okay. That was a very bad question, no?
No, I'm gonna say.
U apparti jekk Alex ukoll għamel żmien jgħix l-Ingilterra allura se nkunu qegħdin neqilbu mill-Ingliż għal Malti. Skużawna, tagħmlu hekk mhux kapriċjożament imma biex nkun żgur li se jgħidulna jkunu ċari huma għalihom infushom ukoll. Ma nafx, li kelli nitolbok tagħtini snapshot, Alex, tal-medja elettronika fiex aħna, x'inhu l-istat tal-medja elettronika, tal-medja li tasal mod elettroniku f'pajjiżna.
It's a loaded question, Andrew. Nibdew mill-fatt li naħseb waqt il-ġenerazzjoni tagħna, ngħid tagħna jiena għandi jien xieħ kompert ma'kom it-tnejn
I'm
48, so I guess in
internet
inkisser bl-Ingliż jiena xi my wife is English and ma nistax tkellmu bil-Malti so let me switch to English. I guess my generation and I was in Malta till the age of 23. The only form of media which we had was print and television, I guess. I think if you fast forward to where we are now, and I look at my 7-year-old child playing with my iPod Touch, trying to get onto YouTube so he can watch something that he wants at the time that he wants to watch it, you can see how these whole worlds have changed. We've gone from, you know, I saw my first computer when I was 23, and we're now talking about people who are born with them. Probably in speech up to chips for them, you know, at the age of 23, which will be able to tell people where they are and navigate that way. I think also another thing which has shifted in terms of media, if you want to look at news in particular, li municipali, I guess, mux sena maċi advert kbira għal-print għonek li who get most of their news online. Mm. So I don't buy a newspaper, but I know that I have access to what's happening here and elsewhere in real time because of the sites that I look at, that I read, because of the RSS feeds that I have. So I think we've moved, we're in a totally different space, I guess, to what we had.
Is this wrong?
I think this is very right, where I'm coming from. I think ġera f'Malta f'żmien li kont nitrabbajin, I guess, you know, rak il-Malta tkellet 23, ġifieri, I mean, I guess information was deemed to be associated with power at the time. And I guess the way that the information was given to us, to our generation, could only come three ways, no? Print and motto was always politically controlled by either one of the two parties, I guess television, which was controlled by a party, and the rest of it was word of mouth. I guess what we have now with new media is that word of mouth now has a medium within which to express itself, which is all these wonderful new devices and gadgets, like a mobile phone that we use to communicate from one to the other. So from where I'm sitting, I think it's a great thing, and I think it will stop a lot of things. I think even politically, we should like Malta and other places, and we can talk about this later, that there's a lot of things happening politically now in the worldwide world that people get to know about them because of all these devices that people carry in their hands and can communicate to other parts of the world and say, this is happening right now, and that's the immediacy, I think, which we're talking about.
Però, for example, the campaign that Barack Obama famous on Facebook, who was smart that il-Facebook kienet waħda mill-lodda kbira speċjalment biex attira ċerta kategoriji ta' niżmu partikolarizzata. Ġifieri anke hemmhekk il-politika qed tinfiltra, l-industrija qed tinfiltra, r-reklamar qed jinfiltra. Xejn ma jgħal, ġifieri di kwistjoni darba kont qed nitkellmu ftit żmien ilu, kif qed fil-verità qed tieħu prodott b'xejn jekk inti qed tibblogja fuq il-Gmail u inti tista' ikollok dan il-blog available għalik. Huwa b'xejn jonk ella hemm lit moħbija tal-industrialist li xorta qed timanipulak.
Hemm ħafna, this is very loaded. Għandek ħafna domandi f'dej għadek hemm saqsejni. Nibdew minn Obama. Obama kien in a way responsabbli through his open.gov campaign, jiġifieri, which he then migrated into Washington.gov as soon as he took office. In fact, they have some infrastructure that they for open.gov. What of Washington.gov? Obama knew that in terms of fundraising, he used social media, he used anything from Twitter and Facebook and any kind of groups to try and crowdsource people. But in a way, he's been responsible for legitimizing, in a way, or getting social media to grow up almost from it being seen to be the domain of kids or people, you know, wanting to chat to their friends using social media to something a bit more distinguished. Issa li qed titkellem fuq l-aħħar biex ta' domanda tiegħek kien fuq il-free model ħafna mill-PhD tiegħi infatti l-hemmhekk qiegħed Tim Berners-Lee li kien wara l-internet right interview milux u qal l-ikbar biża' li kellu kienet li that the internet was going to end up being owned by corporates. In other words, that it would not be free at the time it was being set up, like the internet, which you mean, like, you know, from the world of academia and then national defense, I guess. And he said, thank God that didn't happen. What's happened now is that a lot of the successful, big successful models on Facebook or Twitter, which are valued to be the tunes of billions, have not really monetized till now, if you're looking at social media. Google model, different. Google went via search, and Google came up with a pay-per-click business model, which makes them a hell of a lot of money. If you know, Google is the scamp ta Facebook, ta Twitter, ta entities oħrajn. Let alone, but li naħal oħran dek entities li jużaw blogging platforms, fan mużaw għahnat mod inside out, li monetizing these models is extremely, extremely difficult. If you don't why do people use these?
And
you should fail.
Yeah, sorry.
you have been involved as a journalist with Dive, as a,
yes,
as a contact worker. Kombinazzjoni, Dive, jew inti ritmur jo news portal mod speċifiku. Għaliex mhux il-Malta Independent, għaliex mhux il-Times of Malta, għaliex mhux l-Orizzont.
By the way, obviously, as I said, if you don't mind me answering in English. Why Dive? Well, first of all, because that was where the vacancy opened up at the time. And I mean, if I'm completely honest, my experience at Dive opened my eyes to a lot of things happening in journalism at the moment that I'm not personally that keen on. I'm not keen on I find it's amusing the manner in which they receive the press releases from the two respective or the three respective parties, whatever. You know, chop and edit where necessary, and just simply in, you have this constant battle going on, firing going on between the two parties to which the media is a part of, and given that it's online and whatever, the rapid fire exchange happens all the more quickly with Dive, so you see it all the time. It's a necessary point in sort of the democratic or fair publication of an argument or a debate. I mean, it's necessary for when it comes to the depiction of truth or whatever in the media, but at the same time, it takes up valuable space and time that could be focused on other things by virtue of this, that it's constantly happening. I mean, Dive, my experience with Dive was short, and given that I was young and I was inexperienced or whatever, well...
You messed it up.
it's not so much that I messed it up, but rather that I obviously didn't have... quite the responsibility that more senior or experienced people had there. So I was put in charge of sort of accepting these press releases that other people put in, you know, and chopping and editing those and uploading the subtext stuff on the teletext on TV and whatnot and small issues like that. But, well, that's pretty much it, really.
What to say, and then you were involved with the Times and Malta.
The Times came before that. The Times came as when I was about 16. I'd just come out of my O-levels and was... at the time, very keen on journalism, less so now for reasons that we might go into later. But I was very keen on the idea. I liked the whole sort of. I remember watching a DVD. The name actually eludes me now about the Watergate scandal.
The President's Men, I think.
That's the one. All right. And thinking to myself, sort of, I'd quite like to be one of those people pursuing the truth and uncovering the injustices and yada yada yada. So I ended up landing myself a job, quite fortunately, in the Times, for a short period of time, and learned a lot. Obviously, found it very, very informative and very helpful. And then went on to continue my studies, still thinking that I wanted to do journalism, which is why I eventually ended up taking English at university. Only to have this experience with Dive, which sort of put me off a bit. It's put me off in terms of. I mean, and I don't want to be bashing Dive here, obviously, on the air, but thinking to myself, the standards drops considerably in the company, that there's less attention paid to language, which I think is crucial if you're going to be reporting anything with any sort of precision. Language should be the number one
tool,
absolutely. It's, in fact, the only tool, let's face it. So aside from, obviously, pictures and whatnot, but for the sake of specificity and clarification, I thought the focus on language, and it's something that is visible, it's notable throughout a lot of the media sources in Malta, is obviously the attention to language. I think there should be a focus or like a clause beforehand as to whether or not you're going to speak in English or Maltese, as we've done in this station. And if you're going to speak in English, please use correct English. And if you're going to speak in Maltese, please use correct Maltese, because that can...
So if I had to ask you what's wrong with journalism or... Well, what's wrong with journalism? You would tell me that the issue is mainly language. And
far from it. There's a lot more wrong with journalism than
that.
Yes,
I think.
No, because if you're so passionate, and my idea was that you're extremely passionate about journalism, and that has gone away, it worries me because.
Well, it's not so much that I was. I think personally, and I'm sure this probably applies for you as well, Alex, is that my passion comes from. For language in itself as a means of sort of highlighting stuff and I believe very firmly in expression. And I think one element of expression in journalism is the expression in journalism is that of ultimately should be the truth. I think the main point of journalism, call me idealistic here, and I'm not sure if Alex agrees with me, but I'm sure he does.
According to who?
The truth according to...
the editorial line?
Well, isn't that where the issue lies? That's the problem. This is my ideal. Less said, the Malta Press put it in there, the draft of their...
ethics?
Their ethics, I think that was the paper anyway. That's the... It's not so much... It should be not so much the focus on the truth... as on fairness, now in the media. The idea should be journalism should be about representing as many views, if not all views, as possible. Mm-hmm. But by default, as in all views, as in political views, whatever, anyone who should have a right to say something by default should get a chance to say it and should be represented in the media. But by default, if something's not deemed newsworthy or if it's not considered eligible in any way, shape, or form to be heard, and obviously all media outlets, media like companies and whatever have a policy to adhere to, then it automatically doesn't get aired or whatnot. Mm. That in itself is also well and good, so long as the and bear with me here because I've just woken up, but so long as the media point in question, be it the Times, be it whatever, states what their position is, that in itself is fine because you automatically know what you're expecting. But the issue appears to be now that whilst many claim neutrality or independence, the issue is obviously that there isn't. And that's with it. So that's one of the many problems, and I'm rambling on here.
I've heard a number of set stories when it comes to the political parties' influence and calling in journalists from the different independent, so-called independent media. I've never had the opportunity to verify this, but I will with the people from the different media. But the issue of independence and autonomy, what do you think about that? I mean, Mandushi could have an editorial line. Shouldn't there be an editorial line?
We're hovering around a lot of very interesting topics.
Yeah, I kept shooting
and,
off.
And a lot of them can be potentially controversial and damaging, and we got to be careful what we say. So let's try and steer this.
I should do a bit of a disclaimer.
You should do a disclaimer.
Alex takes all the responsibility.
I'm not taking any responsibility for anything here, because there's a number of issues. I think if I heard you properly, Andrew, you talk about your love of words and your love of content. Okay, so let's pull away a bit from newspapers.
Right.
And political influences, which always happened, will happen, and will continue to happen in any country whatsoever. So in this country, it's not just the fact that we have, papers that are deemed to be politically biased, owned by the parties. There's also another element, which is called the business element, where clearly, these newspapers have to, sustain themselves, and they sustain themselves via a range of things, via adverts, editorials, you name it.
This is a crucial problem worldwide.
So and the other issue, which we may pick up on later, which is that most print media in the world is in trouble. Malta is the splendid example. Love it or hate it. That in the States you now have cities.
Drop in sales.
You have cities now that people don't even have a national newspaper because the kids have gone online. They are looking for their information online, and above that, they're looking for their information not just from trained journalists who might have been employed by a newspaper, but the essential thing, because the thing I'm really interested in, is that they'll be looking at it from word-of-mouth sources, okay? Mm-hmm. So the truth is deemed to be coming from somebody that you know, that you trust. Mm-hmm. So it might be that Andrew might tell me, going down to that bar, it's really good because I know I've eaten there yesterday. Or else I might be looking at a newspaper which has a review of that, and I would trust what Andrew has told me much more than what the newspaper has said, because that's a trusted source. Now, what social media has done, it's enabled somebody like Andrew now to go and do an impromptu review of that restaurant on his blog or on some community site that reviews that restaurant. So I think if we're looking at where newspapers were and are now, how they communicate the truth to their various publics, and the potential there is now for other unknown people who previously did not have a voice, did not have a job in traditional media, who now, however, as long as they have access to the internet, can go and talk to people about what they know, what they say, what they believe in, even if it's flawed, A, and even if they are not trained properly, that's the danger, B, that can all happen now. So we're living in exciting, dangerous times for the truth and for content as such. Because there's this magic word now called user-generated content, okay? For the good and for the bad. And in a way, what's happened is with big business, with corporates, is that everybody's running now after this. It's almost like the horse has bolted. So you've got you know, people putting up their profiles on Facebook and 15 million other social media networks and using Twitter to communicate with their friends. And the world as we know it is trying to understand what's happening. I repeat, I draw the line, however. In Malta, the situation is not the case. Here, you still have the one big bastion of trust, I guess, called the Times, mm-hmm. that has, with a brand which is hundreds of years old, which has now believes that it can migrate its brand now to timesofmalta.com, mm-hmm. and as a result, it can still...
It's quite a dangerous move, I think.
It basically believes that it can crowd everybody else out. I mean, that's the situation, I guess.
But it can also drop in the actual paper sales as well.
Not really. I think if I were the Times, I would have done exactly what they did. I think I have a great brand, and I lever on that brand, to turn that brand as commercial as possible, and occupy the space.
They've managed that.
I think they've managed it very successfully, but they managed it very successfully because of the brand that they had and because of content. Content is the most expensive thing to produce. Now,
ship type content, man.
Article to be in Taibin, news items,
news points.
I mean, bishes sip. Yes, I don't know.
Yes, please.
To find people who A, have something to say, B, can write it succinctly, is not an easy task. And I know I've done work for the Times as well. I mean, I set up Technology Sunday, which was their technology supplement earlier this year, and I know how difficult it is to find good people who can write for very little money, or sometimes no money.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so that's the challenge that you have. Now, where I came from, when I decided that we had something to say about Malta, which was not being said, which is how Malta Inside Out came about, we had to make a choice. Do you go for total user-generated content, so you create a platform which is open, which means that anybody can come and say whatever they want about Malta, with the downside being that the chances are, in terms of quality of content, it's not going to be great, or you go the other extreme, where you just have a small team of people who are writing, but you're always open to people coming, you know, I mean, we'd love to find more people who want to come and write and have something to say. But our emphasis in our case is on quality content based around a free model, okay? So we don't charge people for what we do, but what we do, we're trying to do well because we believe we have something to say. In terms of the business model, I'm leaving it out because we don't even know what that is right now. But I think in your case, that you've been, you know, whether to the Times or Dive and been a bit disillusioned because of this PR thing, at the end of the day, filling a newspaper with content is extremely tough to do. It's inevitable.
With good content, with rubbish you can do.
Yeah, with rubbish you can do it. So if you get a PR, you know, press release from somewhere, which you get as a media, just, you know.
Min jidħol fu DOI, u jkun loggjat ma DOI, allura jkollu, jina nżomm persi interessat fil-current affairs, jibatuli. Press photos, all I see is ministers and politicians, which isn't... So if having me... as the first thing in the morning, Andrew, you could have a worse deal than that. press releases. Is it going to be media? That's it. But mean press releases, Jim, in the department of Talvern, mainly, in the ministry. It's very... Pero, din ishtaq tinsaqsik, Andrew. Il-media, u forsi mod partikolari news portal, mish edem, let me ask the question, edem bish is-servi għannis, jo bish taqdi l-ego tijak, l-inti tixtiq kun ġurnalist tajjeb, tagħmel il-content tajjeb biċ-ċittadin. Jonk kellha jien għax jinteressani dak il-Ministru x'għamel u kemm iġġieldu l-Prim Ministru l-Kap tal-Oppożizzjoni, jiena bħala the person on the receiving end. What is important? What should be the end product?
Well,
on any newspaper, anything,
I'd imagine, I think a division has to be made between, you know, a newspaper and entertainment. I think if people are looking to be entertained, they should seek the relevant sources of entertainment. If people want to be informed of what's going on in the world, I think that should be as expansive sort of information as possible. I think a newspaper should, the aim of a newspaper, in my, you know, sort of personal opinion, is that it should be serving the people by way of just informing them of national affairs, of events that are going, you know, you've got local papers that obviously inform you of the local events and the local whatever's going on, and you've got the big national papers that do the same for the national the big country and whatever, that should focus primarily on basically the big events that are happening that people should be. I don't quite know how else to put it, you know, a paper serves the people.
I think we're now getting to hugely different times. Whilst, I guess, a newspaper's role used to be that, conveying the news. Because of the internet now, many a times the news has leaked out online before this blessed rag goes to print.
Yeah, exactly.
So by the time the news has been published on the newspaper, something else has happened which has made it redundant.
Quintetize for daily. So
this is instantaneous. I mean, here is empty. I mean, we all know what happened in Iran. That you know, basically, yeah, people couldn't get in, but there were people on. I mean, Twitter was supposed to be going down for maintenance on the day that the uprising started happening in Iran, and the U.S. State Department actually asked Twitter not to have the maintenance on that day, because the only way they were getting news of what was actually happening in the streets, so there were people using Twitter to say, somebody's just been shot, here's a picture of her, I've taken it with my mobile phone, or here's a clip, and you can beam it up. I mean, that's why places like China, like Iraq, they're all trying to block Facebook and MySpace and all of these other things. So in the old days of, you know, censorship, I guess, because now you've got all this user-generated content. It's a great thing from one side, because this so-called truth, which is what we started talking about first, you have people in the streets conveying the truth. On the other side, and it's a big danger, is that the quality of that content, 95% of it might be rubbish. Okay, so the difficulty is that a lot of people who are trying to use these so-called new tools, like Twitter, which is the most, I find, the most exciting of tools, but you really need to know how to use these things. You just give up, because you get so much rubbish coming into it. So to find the seeds of information that you need can be quite a challenge. And newspapers, I repeat, newspapers abroad are very much aware of this challenge, very much trying to find a way of surviving online. They've tried premium models online that didn't really work. In Malta, we're still lagging behind. I still think it will happen here, and you can see that there are various other entities here.
I was just going to say, I personally, and I don't want to be rocking the boat too much here, obviously, but agreeing completely with Alex, I feel personally inclined to almost say that journalism as we know it, or as we appreciate it, is almost becoming, to some extent, redundant in some way, shape, or form. It's as a consequence of this internet sort of influence.
It's a fact for the consensus.
Yeah,
because we were talking about this before we started the program, that the actual print is...
Well, I mean, print's dying out. I mean, I don't know if it's a far stretch of the imagination to say that the reading public in general finds its sources now online as opposed to in books, or I can't obviously speak for book sales or indeed, you know, newspapers in general, but as we were saying earlier before the show started, I don't know how many people actually buy a paper now anymore as opposed to reading it online. I don't know how many people...
It's still quite high here.
It's still quite high here, yes, indeed. But I know a vast majority of my friends at university, for example, are all up on their computers now. I don't think I know anyone of my age, at least, who buys the paper anymore.
Sure.
So this wave of the generation actually seems to be... we're all stuck on our internet thing. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. I think... part of it, as we've been shooting off all over the place here, but I think a part of the issue has always been our absolute dependency or one or two known reliable sources like the Times and Malta, like, I don't know, the Washington Post or whatever, yada, yada, yada. They're all...
It's a different type of fruit.
The best reading at 5 in the morning, actually.
I think I've got, actually, like this little list here that I got off an essay I found online by Peter Osnos, The Media and Journalism, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And he highlights three problems with media, which is the first one being the obvious one that we're all fully aware of, is the tussle between national security and open expression, which this ties in with the obvious influences of the government on the media, and we're all fully aware of the partisan gains and whatnot that happen with the media over here. So by default, people take media with a pinch of salt to Malta. It stands to reason. As I feel inclined to argue, we should do worldwide from now on. But anyway, moving on to point two, mm-hmm. he points out about the technology front, which we're discussing now, and gadgetry in general. It's interesting to note, as I sort of said before we started the show, that in Vietnam, for example, the film that came from Vietnam used to take 48 hours to reach the New York, I believe it was the New York Post, but I'm not sure. Nowadays, we can get it instantaneously. Perhaps the trick to informing to people is having less human interference in the data and more immediate streaming online, leaving it to the public to decide for themselves what's going on. So if you're having debates in Parliament, if you're having whatever, rather than this, you know, the Adam Bolton stepping in and giving his commentary and whatnot, just have the full live streaming, the full live viewing. This is, I mean, it's a rough mm-hmm. idea being thrown up in the air here. Mm-hmm. By no mm-hmm. means trying to mm-hmm. provide any answers. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, and most importantly, we mentioned again, commerce versus quality. You know, this obviously the papers need to sustain themselves. You know, the media in general needs to sustain itself. Where there's money involved, there's automatically a dependency on other outward forces. So, you know, this notion of journalism as being, as I had hoped it would be, as I always wanted to be, the pursuit of truth actually, and fact, actually doesn't seem to be the case anymore. It doesn't seem to be a viable option for the future. So I don't see it as happening in the future anymore. If I, you know.
It's just a further.
I'm very cynical about the truth. Yes. I don't think there is one. I don't think there is one truth. I think
Kulħadd. I had such a problem with
the studio al pirandello, Kulħadd jaf li I am not who I am who you think I am.
That's okay,
so we're all subjective in how we do this.
So, and due respect to Pirandello, he doesn't need to tell us this because it's so.
It was, for me, it was a bit of a shock to the system when I read it at the age of 17, I guess, because you wake up in the morning and you think that people take you at face value, whilst if people meet you at the wrong time of the day, they might think you're one kind of person. If people meet you another time, they might think you're someone else.
Yeah.
And I guess we're now reaching a stage, having moved from the days of, I mean, I'm reading Neil Postman at the moment, you know, a book called Amusing Ourselves to Death, and he was talking about television in 1984. So we're talking about just as computers are really starting to get going and pre-internet. So think in terms of how we're amusing ourselves to death now, when a 13-year-old girl in Sweden can wake up in the morning and switch on her webcam and does her what she thinks is her TV show because she'd like to be Britney Mark too. Mm-hmm. And it's also deemed to be content, which is online, that if you want you can follow. And she's probably got about 2,000 followers made up of various people. Mm-hmm. Around the world, all over the world. So we're moving, where it's like we're on this train, which is going somewhere. We don't know where it's going to go. If you had to ask me my personal view of where I am, because I still grew up in a paradigm where content is king.
Yeah.
And I still believe that good content will always win in the end. In our case, going back to our project, we decided that we'd go for quality content. Mm-hmm. My partner is a trained journalist, so I have a lot of time for people learning the tools of the trade, yeah. learning how to write. It doesn't mean, though, that the only way that you can write is if you are a trained journalist.
No.
You know, I know people who are very good journalists here and do official journalism training in Malta. But the idea is that you have something to say, and you say it well. I think we need to steer away from the whole political influence thingy, because it is never going to go away as long as there is either power or money attached to anything.
I agree completely.
You will never have the truth. Even with our little project, which is about talking about living and working and visiting Malta, we've gone the other extreme. We said everything is subjective in whatever we write. So if we have a post or an editorial, there's somebody's picture there which says it's subjective, Alex wrote this, and I think it's important, because it is clearly life seen through somebody's eyes.
Nfakkar kom li qegħdin fuq Campus FM dejjem miegħi ndrozz suppardi waqt il-programm Storja, miegħi għandi l-Alex Grech u għandi l-Andrew Gallia Pawman. Din tal-teknoloġija xorta naħseb jina inni sadhom jinterpretaw bħala traċedja, ma jisu l-perception tal-nies hija li mhux il-media, new media, so l-teknoloġija tal-informatika, l-internet, hemm ċerta biża' u jien naħseb il-fatt li ma nafux fejn se toħodna, ġifri dik it-tfajla li inti semmejt li ħolqot storja li għan nefisa, ħolqot immaġni li għan nefisa. Hemm exposure enormi, ġifri l-exposure li qed tiftik il-medja hija enormi u ma nafx għandniex nipproteġu li nanfusha minn dik.
Potenzjalment perikoluża, ma nafx eżattament. I mean, I don't know what you can do about it. I mean, I think anything that is invented can be used for good means and bad means. You have a car to, you know, I may enjoy, you know, going for a drive from A to B, or you can run over a cyclist, putting it bluntly. That's the way new media is. New media means that you and I, we're recording a show right now, but we could easily just, you know, do it live via a webcam somewhere and stream it live if we wanted to.
This will be streamed live, this will be podcasted.
I think it's gone. It's a mushet night limandum shikonem checks and balances in place, and I think that's where society now has to find some way of regulation. And I'm saying regulation, not censorship by any means.
In our community. I can't see the difference.
I think in terms of when it comes to kids, I think people aged 15 under. I mean, I read. I'll give you a horrific story. I was in England last week and two teenage girls jumped over a bridge and committed suicide via an internet pact, apparently. Okay? So, and these are So there's some horror stories, somebody committing suicide online, okay, and streaming it live. So think in terms of the ultimate horrid entertainment. We can go to that kind of level now, okay? In the same way that you have Howard Rheingold in the States having an open class and teaching everybody online. So the amazing thing that I'm sitting in my farmhouse in Sijui, there's a webinar going on in Sweden, there's a screen at the back, they are streaming Twitter, and I am actually talking to people in Sweden, and you can see what I'm writing there. And at the same time, I'm asking a question, and somebody else is typing, "This speaker is really boring, time for lunch." And the speaker can actually see it online. Jafiri, recognizing that you can use things for good things and bad and bad things.
That's a good thing.
Okay. And so I think that's where we are. I believe, though, that the status quo that this country is particularly good at, if I think it's Malta, it's small, it's safe, I think people are actually going to vote with their feet, because I guess in terms of print, yes, a lot less people are reading print. On the other hand, in Malta, it's an island, and islands can be good things or can be bad things. You can actually, on the other hand, is there such a thing as an island online where everybody can access, you know, whatever.
I agree completely. I'm on the same view that, you know, if we're advancing in technology, any advancements. I'd heard a quote, actually. Funny enough, once again, I hadn't read it. I'd been watching a film and got it off, I think it was The Libertine, I'm not sure anyway, where he says that any experiment in the interest of knowledge or the pursuit of betterment of life or something like that, anyway, is at your own expense. But, which, maybe I'm stating the obvious here, but obviously if you're going to be making any progress into the future, you have to crack a few eggs to make an omelette. I know that's putting it a bit bluntly and a bit simply, but the truth of the matter is, I think with any sort of advancement in society, we've always had the misuse or the misconstrual of how to use something, and I think that eventually, with enough progress in with technology and whatever, we will eventually, I hope anyway, or I'd like to think, learn how to better tame that, to better harness that, you know, to better restrain ourselves from this. It's an inevitable sort of characteristic of human nature that, I mean, if there were, I think Terry Pratchett puts it in one of his books, if there was like some big hole where all the souls of the dead echoed, the famous last words would always be things like, "What does this button do?" And no, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, why? You know,
it's exactly, it's the why, exactly. It's a continuous push. it's inevitable that you're going to have this. The best that we can do, as Alex put it, is sort of regulate and attempt the checks and balances that can fix that, which does not necessarily, I think, include or mean censorship. I think there's a crucial difference between regulation and censorship. I don't know, perhaps.
Yin Perlstadt in Satsim Stotzeria and the Kurzeta for time is practically running out, and I would like us to discuss this for a moment. Andrew, you started by being highly critical of the way we're doing journalism. So has Alex, to say the truth. But what is a good journalist? People who write opinions in papers, newspapers, or online, or bloggers. What is the right formula that needs to be taken into consideration? Definitely the medium, I do appreciate that, the language and the use of language. But what will make a good journalist?
Broad question. Not so much a broad question, but a difficult one. It's just that you've got journalism as it happens on the individual level of the journalist, and then you've got, you know, how it translates to the broader structure that is the paper you work for, or the, you know, the company, or whatever it is. I think every journalist starts off with the basic premise behind journalism, besides the obvious, as we said, precise use of language, which is, I think, crucial, starts off with the understanding that you cannot have any personal involvement. Not so much involvement. You cannot have any influencing factor on what you're writing. You have to simply record what is and present it to others. Would you say that's fair to say?
How can I put it?
Opinions matter, no? But
I'm not sure I agree with you on that one. I'll tell you why. I think, because I actually believe that everything in life is subjective. Mm. I don't think there's any such thing as the truth, unless you put up a webcam overlooking a beach somewhere and just watch what's going on.
I agree completely.
You know, we really would amuse ourselves to death. I think what's required is that people can communicate well, can write well, that people can engage is the most important thing, I think, in Malta. But it is as long as you are owned by an entity that is going to try and make money somehow or other, your levels of freedom are always going to, if you're working for a newspaper, they depend on the editor, who's employed by someone who keeps him or her in a job. So the levels of freedom are always restricted. In our case, what we've tried to do is we've tried to say, here's a platform for people who can communicate well. You can't hide behind, this is who I am, here's my picture, this is what I do, this is what I believe in, and it might be that one day you've got an opinion saying X, and the next day you're going to have somebody saying Y. I actually don't believe in the absolute truth myself. I think it's
all. Nor do I personally. That's how I sort of, my point being, my criticism of journalism is not just simply on the level of quality, but at the level of quality or principle, but its value as anything in general in society nowadays. That's where my concern really lies, is that it can go, you know, one of two ways. Is that everyone sort of, we continue with this plethora, this multitude of opening, burgeoning online commentaries and criticisms and whatever, and the public takes on a more active role in deciphering. The responsibility transfers to the public, or there's a death of journalism altogether. It begins to tie stuff, and it becomes solely a matter of subjectivity
report
and opinion.
I'll give an example of what things I'm uncomfortable with in Malta. I will use the Times again as an example, for example. With the Times, because I know there are some strong opinions on it. The Times will not necessarily put all of its content online, will put some of the content online, and a lot of the content which is online, there's like a free-for-all in terms of how people comment.
That's right.
I think in any other newspaper I've seen,
I'm not too sure about the free for all. I think there's a level of.
It's pretty much a free for all.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. So if you know, I've seen some amazingly racist comments. I also see the same.
I've had a couple of contributions not uploaded.
I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked at how, and that's what I mean by, you know, that's the downside and upside of a lot of the downside of user generated content. So I will always fix my mast to. I believe you know, if you have something, say something. If you have something to say, if you don't have something to say, just shut up. If you want to
say something,
and I agree
wholeheartedly.
And I think, and I think that's where I'm coming from. It doesn't mean that I'm right. It's just my personal
but you're
view.
Advocating a type of a subjectivity.
Absolutely. I think there is, it is inevitable that whatever you do in life, we are
subjective.
All the product of our baggage of life. And as inevitably we will always see things through our own filters.
So
and
effectively
I think
we should give
transfer.
Up the pretense of objectivity.
Absolutely.
Altogether,
I don't believe there is.
Which I
don't believe
completely
there is.
As well. That's what, you know, I'd say.
Even if we should be clear on our position as well.
Absolutely. So if you're on Sky, you know,
that's
so I'm saying, even if you're filming something, even if you're on Sky TV, you might be filming somebody who's doing an interview with someone and behind you somebody's getting lynched and you wouldn't know that because within your frame what you are saying is what you're transmitting at the time. Mm-hmm. Same thing applies, I think, to whatever you write. You know, we filter things as human beings, and I think, you know, what social media gives us the other extreme, that you can have everybody's personal, anybody with access to these devices can go and publish to someone. It doesn't mean they're going to get accessed, but yeah, so that's the free-for-all anarchy. There's something wonderfully lovely about it, and at the same time can be very dangerous if misused. I think that's where we are right now. I think this conversation can keep on going.
I think it's the return to nature. It's the survival of the fittest. If we reduce it to the level of all the individuals in society contributing whatever which way they want, the responsibility falls to them, then by default, whoever is writing something that makes sense to the vast majority of the people is the person that they will turn to. It's automatically a filtering of quality is mm-hmm. what it stands to. There's no longer someone is the more potent or the more prominent reporter as a result of his financials. Like
just to pick up on this, I mean, something like Twitter, for instance, has something called, it's called trending topics, and all that does is that it's trying to find common words and what people are talking about within 140 characters. So if there's, let's say there's the Birgu Festival today, I don't mind promoting it because I think it's a lovely event. So if people are talking about the Birgu Festival, that if enough people are talking about the Birgu Festival, then basically you see this thing as a trending topic. So you know people are talking about this. Mm. So it's like the people have voted with their feet or their mouths or their keyboards.
That's the way forward.
Grazie ħafna, Alex Grech, li huwa l-editor ngħid. Ma tħobbx il-kelma?
No, I think it's Malta Inside Out is like a hobby site for me, but we're always looking for good people to write for us. That's my plug.
And it's a very exciting website, so I would suggest that we log in, so it's MaltaInsideOut.com. U kelli wkoll miegħi Andrew Garia. Li kellu diversi esperienzi fil-mili. Ringrazzjakom, inkunawek bħalum t-minti jim għal-programm Horse Science.